Good. Good reminder. What a great song. Isn't that good to encourage and help us with that whole idea? Because so oftentimes we do this just opposite. We're like this, right? Or we're like this, and then all of a sudden we go like this, right? Because we don't like where we're heading, okay? And so we do a lot of that. Or if you have kids that are learning how to drive, you just take the steering wheel back, right? Today, we're in our last day on the book of Joshua, a journey of a faith walker. I'm glad you're here as we talk about miracles, as we talk about how God is able to do the miraculous in our lives. Would you say with me, God is able? God is able. He's able to do things beyond what we can do, and sometimes we forget that. Sometimes God intervenes. He does a supernatural kind of act that is governed not by the laws of time and space. And so when it comes to your life, what do you do when it comes to miracles? And what's your view of miracles? Do you believe in miracles? Have you experienced and witnessed one in your own life or in the life of somebody around you? According to a recent Newsweek poll, 84% of adult Americans say that they believe God performs miracles. 48% report they have personally experienced or witnessed one. 3/4 of American Catholics, 81% of evangelicals, 54% of other Protestants, 43% of the unchurched say that they have prayed to God or a saint for a miracle. You're not alone. If you believe in miracles, you're not alone. And sometimes God does some crazy things to kind of make us step back and just say, God, this is a God thing, and I can't explain it other than this is you. And in Joshua chapter 10, we're told that the day was lengthened in a miraculous way. And it's kind of interesting as you think about this whole passage in Joshua 10. And the question comes before you is, can God do that? Can the Creator do that and extend a day and do such a miraculous thing? We're told in Joshua chapter 10 this, beginning in verse 1, that there's this battle that's going to take place. And we're told that the king of Jerusalem heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and his king, and he had done in Jericho and its king, and that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and had become their allies. So he and his people were very much alarmed at this, because Gibeon was an important city, like the one of the royal cities. It was larger than Ai, and it had all his men and were good fighters. So we're told this, that the five kings, this is in verse 5, that Gideon sent out word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal. And he said, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us." And we're told that he goes on as he's crying out to God. He says, "Save us, help us, because of the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us." And so Joshua marches up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. I mean, we're going to take the hill, right? And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I've given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." And you see kind of a difference from the very beginning with Joshua in the battles, because oftentimes early on, he's kind of taking things into his own hand. Here, he's turning things over to God and trusting God more. Joshua's faith has been built. Remember in Joshua chapter 1, "Be strong, courageous, know that I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to go before you." And Joshua's a little bit worried about that, like, right, God. But along the way, he's learned to trust God. He's learned to turn things over to him, and he's seen God do some amazing things. And after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them in confusion before Israel. So Joshua, notice the Lord, okay, he's in this. He's the one that threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road, going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Ezkah and Makeda. And as they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Ezkah, the Lord hurled what? Large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than they were killed by the swords of the Israelites, just to remind you that God's in this. And on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord, in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still." He prays to God, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There's never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Wow. When you hear that the sun stood still, what happened? Some would conclude that when it comes to all these different ways that this would have played out, that we're told that if the earth actually stopped, the rotation stopped, there'd be all kinds of catastrophes. But from the Hebrew, you can also see that there's kind of a way that this is worded, so it could have been that the rotation of the earth was slowed down. God the Creator can do that. And so the day would have been prolonged. Gleason Archer, he wrote Bible Difficulties, and he talks about a lot of these things. It says, he said, it does not seem to be absolutely necessary in the Hebrew text to hold that the planet was suddenly halted in its rotation. Verse 13 states that the sun did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. The word "did not hasten" seems to point to a slowing down of the movement of that rotation. And so it would make it where it's 48 hours rather than 24 hours. And if God, the omnipotent, all-powerful creator of the world, wants to slow down the rotation of the earth, he can do it like that because he's the creator. And if you have some kind of belief and trust maybe more in science, you'll try to figure out a way to make this where it's not a literal kind of prolonging of the day, that you'll have a way in a literary way or some other way of kind of explaining it. I've talked to a lot of different people. When you talk about miracles, they'll try to have a scientific kind of way of dealing with all those different miracles rather than just saying, could it be God intervening in time and space and doing the supernatural? And you'll talk to people, like even when it comes to the star over Jerusalem, right? Bethany, I'm sorry, and there's that whole idea of in Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus and the star. They'll try to explain that away with well, that was because the stars were kind of aligned this way and that way. And when it comes to the miracles of turning, you know, water into wine and some of those things, they'll have an explanation for that. All the different miracles throughout the scriptures, they'll try to explain it away. And what happens when you do that is you kind of lessen who God is. You kind of make God into your own kind of image rather than saying, this is what Revelation says and this is who God is and what he's revealed about himself. And God's a huge God. He's the creator. And if he wants to intervene and do the supernatural, he's more than able to do it. When it comes to the scriptures, some like to question all the different miracles in the Bible, and they'll even kind of do a little bit of cut and paste. Thomas Jefferson was one of those individuals that did this. Hear what he did. Quote, Thomas Jefferson was editing the Bible, a book regarded by most of the fellow Americans as the Word of God. But he went through and he said, you know what? I'm not sure if I like all these miracles. And he spent some time in the Gospels. And so what he did is he actually took a little knife and he cut out all the different miracles of the Bible because he couldn't explain that. And so he came up with his own Bible, his own New Testament, writing of the Gospels, as he took out all the different miracles and kind of took Jesus to be, get this, because he was more of a deist, not a Christian, but a deist. He wanted to look at the moral teachings of Jesus and saying that he was a good moral teacher, but he wasn't God. And so everything that showed that he was God would be taken out of his Bible. And it took a while, but eventually this became published. But it's interesting how he would do this and had his own publication of the Bible because he didn't believe in the miracles of the gospel. When you think about all the different scriptures and all the different ways that God reveals himself throughout the Old and New Testament, there's reminders at time that God does the miraculous and they're literally fulfilled. There's all kinds of early testimonies of God doing the impossible. Look at creation, how God created everything from nothing. Look at how he took the Israelites out of the land and all the different miracles that God performed to encourage Pharaoh to say, "Let my people go." And he finally gave in to the whole idea of Moses and everybody else wanting him to go. And Pharaoh finally relented because of the miracles of God. And then you look at the New Testament and how Jesus performed miracles. The first one, the wedding at Cana. And he turned the water into wine. And there was all kinds of other miraculous ways that Jesus, because he was fully God, fully man, was able to do the supernatural. And he caused Lazarus to rise from the dead. And that's a God thing. You can't do that on your own. That was Jesus breathing life into his friend Lazarus and causing him to be alive again after he was dead. And all the different ways that Jesus modeled that he was the God of the universe, that he was the God that could do the miraculous, and he was able to do that all the way through his life and ministry. Jesus did that to the point where he said that he was going to die and then 3 days later rise from the dead. And it was fulfilled exactly the way he said. And talk about a miracle, the resurrection, and how Jesus rose from the dead and he showed that he had the power over death. There's not a more powerful miracle than the resurrection. And it gives us hope today because we know we serve a Savior. We have a relationship with Jesus. And so this world isn't all that there is. That one day we'll die, but we'll be resurrected as well. We'll have life eternal because of a God that cares about our soul. Where are you at when it comes to miracles and when it comes to those things that are there? Miracles still for today, yes. Are miracles still for today, yes. And God can do the impossible and he can do things that at times you think, you know, man, I don't understand that. I don't know what's going on here. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no. Sometimes God just says wait. You might be in a situation right now where you're praying that God would heal this person, or maybe it's your own health issue. And you've been praying to God and you cry out to God and you ask him to do that miracle in your life. Maybe for you, you've seen that in your own life or maybe the life of somebody else where God took that disease and he healed it. Or maybe you're in a situation where you've still been praying and you haven't been delivered from that, and you've been told that, well, maybe it's because you don't have enough faith. My friends, it's not about that. It's not about having enough faith or more faith. It's not about that. Sometimes God says no to our request, or maybe he says wait. And sometimes people around us that we love deeply die and we don't have answers. And I think about that whole idea of the miracles and all of what we want and pray for and think about. I'm reminded of a 13-year-old girl, Kara, who went home to be with the Lord last year, who was involved with our church and coming to church on a Sunday morning and sitting up here, and we got involved and this became family to her, and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we asked God to deliver that little girl from that disease, and she wasn't delivered. And when I think about that and think of what it was like when she passed away, I'm reminded that our thoughts are not his thoughts, right? Our ways are not his ways. That sometimes you just have to take that to the Lord and say, I don't have answers for those questions, because it doesn't seem fair that little girl doesn't have a full life. But God does at time intervene. And so we pray and we ask God to do that. And we say, God, would you do that miracle? Would you be the one that would provide that miracle for us? And we pray and we ask God and we seek him. And sometimes God, because he's able to do the supernatural. And sometimes along the way, that illness is turned back around. And next thing you know, that person who had cancer doesn't have the cancer. And next thing you know, that person who was really downcast and really struggling with the health issues, all of a sudden, they can't explain other than that God delivered them and brought the healing in their life. And when you think about why God does that at times, it's to bring glory to him and to make sure that the people around us know that there's a God that is more than able to do the impossible. Miracles are still for the day. Miracles are still here, and they're still for this day. And when Joshua stood in the gap and he prayed earnestly that there would be this day becoming longer, that they would be able to, because of that, have the victory. When he prayed that, as a righteous man, and he prayed that in faith, and he prayed believing that God could do that impossible thing. And it happened. And as I think about how God works in our lives, I'm reminded that he does use prayer to bring about change. In James chapter 5, here's what he says, and this is a great verse of talking about how we're to handle illness, how we're to handle our own suffering, and how we're to allow God to work in our lives. In James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, it says, "If anyone is among you in trouble, let him pray. Is anybody happy? Let them sing songs of praise." You might be struggling, pray. You might be doing good, pray. Keep allowing God to work in your life and turn things over to him, but pray and allow God to cultivate that relationship. Is there anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And as elders, it's our privilege to do that. And we've done that many times, just to come alongside people and put ointment on and pray for that individual and ask God to deliver them from that illness. It's an important ministry that God would have for elders, leaders in the church, to pray over and encourage people in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they'll be forgiven. And it's interesting how sometimes our prayers are not answered because of their own sin in our lives. That sometimes God uses those illnesses in our lives to help us get our attention on what the sin is that we need to confess and talk to God about. That sometimes our prayers go unanswered because of that sin. And so he says, let's make sure that we allow God to work there. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And then this very strong statement for the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Question. Are you praying? Are you seeking God and are you praying for those miracles? Or are you saying, you know what, I trust in science more than I'll trust in God's word? When there's things in your life that you're overwhelmed with, there's a reason for each of us to pray and to seek God. And the promise is that that person who prays, they become powerful and effective. It says the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. Is that true? And have you seen that? And have you prayed for those individuals and for that healing maybe in your life or the lives of others? And or have you thrown in the towel and say, I just don't think it's going to be answered the way I want it to be answered? There again, as we talked at the very beginning, not my will be done, but your will be done. and turning it over to God's control, even if the answer doesn't come the way we want it. What's the purpose of miracles? Why does God use miracles? And what is the purpose of those miracles? They prove that God is like no one else, that He has complete control over all of His creation because He's the source and He can do the miraculous. And nothing in our lives is too hard for Him to handle. And He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to turn it over to Him because He is able to do the miraculous in our lives. Would you repeat with me? He is able. He's able. He's able. And sometimes we have very little faith. And we struggle and we wonder. But there's that voice from heaven that just says, believe, trust. And God whispers deep within the soul to say, I'm able. I can do the impossible. Would you trust me? Would you turn it over to me? What's the miracle that you're praying for today? What is it that you're praying for and you're asking God to do? Maybe it's for a prodigal to come back home. I think about John and Susie Vermillion and how long they prayed for their kids to just come back home. And Joe was far from God. And Susie and John were prayer warriors, and they just kept praying and praying and praying. And I'm so glad that Joe sat in the back row, listened to the gospel message about the prodigal son, and how he came back to faith and trust. And we got to experience some really good times and still some good times with Joe and his walk with the Lord. But the really cool thing, John, before he went home to be with the Lord, got to see a son reunited. You want to say that's just coincidence or, no, that's prayers of a righteous person being answered and God doing a miraculous to turn the life around for a kid that was far from God, turning it back around where he loves Jesus today. And John and Susie witnessed that. What are you praying for? What's the miracle that you're praying for? Maybe it's a loved one that is going through cancer or something very difficult, an illness, and you're praying that God would heal that person. Does God use medical kind of things? Does God use those doctors and all the different prescriptions? Yes, but He also is able to do the supernatural with that. And so we use the wisdom that God has given us and the science that God has given to us and blessed us with. But we also pray and we seek and we ask God to do a good work to bring about that change. Maybe it's your own health issue. Maybe it's something that of a friend or a relative that's going through. And you pray and you get on your knees and you pray and you say, God, would you spare their life? Would you bring about that healing? Maybe for you it's something that you're going through, or maybe it's a marriage that needs to be renewed, and you pray, God, would you renew this marriage, because it doesn't seem like it's going to ever get any better unless we get on our knees, and we pray, and we ask God to work and change us, renew us, help us. Maybe it's a new job that all of a sudden is the perfect fit. When I hear people praying for that next job, that next time that they're looking for a position, I'm reminded that God has a good plan for their lives. I'm amazed how many people have the same job that they hate. And they go in and day out and they hate that job. And I'm thinking, walk in faith and quit it today. And God's going to provide for you a job that you should enjoy. I think that's part of God's plan. He wants to give us good gifts. He's a heavenly Father that gives good gifts to His children. We need to walk in faith at time and believe that God can do the miraculous and God can provide that right job with the right pay, with the right boss, and that you could actually enjoy going to work. Wouldn't that be a miracle, right? Some of you are saying, now you're really getting, you know, going down that, but now you're really believing and testing God in this way. I believe in that kind of God. I believe God can do that. God is able to do the miraculous. God is able to bring about change in our lives. story is told of Abraham Lincoln sitting on the front porch of his little country store in Illinois. And he said to his partner, Barry, I want to study law, and I wouldn't mind so much if we could sell everything that we've got to pay all of our bills and have just enough left over to buy one book, Blackstone's Commentary on the English Law, but I guess I can't. If you're a lawyer, you'd think that was a treasure, right? We'd go, no big deal. Strange-looking wagon was coming up the road, and the driver angled it up onto the store porch and said, I'm trying to move my family out west. I'm out of money, and I've got a good barrel here that I could sell for 50 cents. Lincoln's eyes went along the wagon and came to his wife looking at him pleadingly, face thin and not really appreciating all this. Lincoln stuck his hand into his pocket and took out, according to him, the last 50 cents that he had. He says, I reckon I could use a good barrel. All day long, the barrel sat on the porch of the store. Barry kept chiding Lincoln about it. Late in the evening, Lincoln walked over and he looked into the barrel and he saw something in the bottom of it, papers that he hadn't noticed before, and long arms went down into the barrel. And as he fumbled around, he hit something solid. He pulled out a book and stood petrified. It was Blackstone's Commentary on English Law. Coincidence? Lincoln later wrote, I stood there holding the book and looking up towards the heavens. There came a deep impression on me that God had something for me to do, and he was showing me now that I had to get ready for it. Miracle. Don't think that God didn't have a hand in that. What miracle are you praying for? What are you trusting God for, and what are you praying for? Do you believe in miracles and to believe that the God of the Old Testament who did all those miracles, the God of the New Testament, who was the same God who gave us Jesus and all of what took place there in the Gospels is the same God that works today? Do you believe? And are you trusting him to do the miraculous in your lives? Don't give in. Don't think that your marriage can't be saved. Don't think that he can't bring that healing in your life. Don't think that along the way he can't provide that job for you. God can do the miraculous because he is able. He's that kind of God who gives good gifts to his children. And he loves showering us down with those blessings. Don't give up the faith and trust God for what he wants to do in the next chapter of your life. I want to do something at the end here that just to bless and encourage you with. And so I'd ask everybody to stand. And I want to ask God's blessing over you. And I want you to hold your hands out again. And I want to pray a prayer that Paul prayed. And let me pray it this way. And I pray that you, this church family, sons and daughters in Christ, that you all would be rooted and established in love, and that you would have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all would ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Lord, I thank you for each one here today. I pray, Lord, for those that just are really struggling with a God that can do the supernatural, a God that can do wonderful works in their lives. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them great hope and trust. Build their faith, just like Joshua. You built his faith. I pray, Lord, for each one here today. Help them to believe in a God that can do the miraculous and is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. Help us to believe and trust. And I know that you're that kind of God. Bless each one here today. Thank you, Lord, for just meeting us right where we're at. Because I know there's some that we're just wanting to throw in the towel. There are some that are just really discouraged because of illness. But Lord, you've encouraged them today. You've given them hope. You've blessed them through your word. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.